All right, so this is something brand new. I'm calling it Arting Pals because I'm hoping that Jeremy and I in this episode are your pals while you're arting right now. I apologize for the sound quality. I promise it'll get better once I get new equipment. I'll have two separate microphones to capture two audio sources. It'll be incredible. Jeremy Johnson, aka Color Lab, is a real life friend of mine locally. He's a great artist. My daughter and his daughter are pals, and he and I are pals. So hopefully you like this. I hope it's useful. Bye.
So this is kind of interviewing. I'll give you that. But I am curious. You seem pretty confident as an artist. I've noticed within myself there are some mental obstacles. Mm-hmm. Have you ever? So for me, I'm curious about you. For me, I noticed that I think I still do it. Mm-hmm. But I'll see artists that I feel like this person's better. This was the question today that someone gave, that submitted to me. Mm-hmm. But when I see someone that's better than me, then I will think I will never reach that, and I feel defeated. And I don't want to quit, but a part of me does feel like, well, what's the point? Like, I'm not going to get to that point.
Why would you... I think that you should address the fact that, you know, you have talents of your own, and that you are unique in your own way, and you should really, 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 really just focus on honing your skills and what you're doing right now.
I'm not asking for your advice. I want to know. I'm sharing with you that I noticed that within myself. Yeah. That's my mental obstacle.
Yeah.
My issue.
Okay.
And it's not a reflection of real life. It's a reflection of my own insecurities. Okay. Right.
All
right. Because of course, I could work harder, and I could be. I'll do my own thing, and I won't be like the other person, and blah blah blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I get all that. I'm not looking for support. But that's something I've noticed within myself.
Yeah.
And it's gotten better. It's not really an issue anymore, but it used to be there.
Hmm.
So for you, this is actually something I want. Once I get back to interviews, I do want to ask other artists this.
Yeah.
What mental obstacle have you or do you notice, and how did you or do you deal with it? I've never sensed anything within you that's like an obstacle mentally for you. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
Or like an insecurity or something.
An insecurity? Yeah. I definitely have insecurities, and usually the insecurities
as an artist.
Yeah, the insecurities for me as an artist are the things that I cannot do. You know, as like, there's like, I'm not good at certain things, be it environment, be it figure, like the anatomy of a figure, be it very, very specific things. And so it's just like, as an artist, like, I think there's that challenge, like with everybody, it's like you're being tested, you know, like when you talk to somebody and tell somebody you're an artist, it's like, well, do they automatically assume you should be good at everything? Like, do they assume that you should be good at watercolors, at figurative art, at all these things?
I think they do.
You know, it's like being a plumber, and then somebody looks at you with like, well, you should know how to do everything dealing with waters and pipes.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not the case. So
when I was doing tables at conventions, there was, you know, Deadpool and Spider-Man, and someone would ask me for a portrait.
Yeah.
It's not even the same ballpark, I don't think.
No. And so I think there is definitely a stigma of an artist too, because like in my experience, and just my very limited commercial experience, or you know, where I'm getting commissions and actual projects, people automatically think you can do anything. So I get commissions, oh, well, can you do a portrait of my dog in a very realistic way? It's like, well, you obviously don't look at my work and don't know what I do. You know what. What I'm about as an artist.
How is that an insecurity for you?
So what it is it's like it's a challenge for me, and it's like you feeling insecure about certain things that you can't do. It's like, well,
does it stop you from creating it though, or do you rise to the challenge? You seem like you always rise to the challenge.
I do rise to the challenge. I will definitely do, because you're being challenged. I mean, in your skill set, you know, and so I think that you definitely, you know, feel, I mean, I don't know, maybe not everybody feels this way, but you feel obligated to at least attempt it, you know, to say that, you know, I tried it. Yeah, I can do it, but I don't want to do it, you know, because there's plenty of artists. It's like, well, that I don't do that because it's like, well, you don't do it because you can't do it, or you don't do it because you don't want to do it. And you
I say no because I don't want to.
Exactly.
I genuinely dislike it. You know, like portraits.
Yeah.
Pets.
Yeah.
Buildings. I genuinely don't enjoy myself doing that.
Yeah.
And it's really uncomfortable.
So I think
and plus I don't want to insult someone, you know.
Yeah. And I've realized and I very quickly after kind of getting over that realized that it's not necessarily about, you know, having to do that anymore. I'm super comfortable. I talked to enough creatives that are actually self-made and working for themselves. They say the best thing you can learn how to do is to turn somebody away and say no.
Sure.
Because
but you haven't answered my question.
I'm getting there. Let me work through my own process of okay, conversation here. Okay. instead of beating me, trying to beat it out of me, for God's sakes.
I have to direct you because I do. I'm really.
But curious. This isn't an interview. Like we're not recording this.
I was thinking about asking this before you were even here. Like, yeah. I'm really curious because you always I see you try new things all the time.
Yeah.
You're doing beer labels. You've done graffiti. You've done murals. You've done paper and pencil and marker. You've probably done watercolor. You're doing digital.
Yeah.
So I don't see you being reluctant to try anything new. To me, that means you're a pretty confident, self-assured person. Yeah. And not only can you do it, but put it out there for people to judge as well. And that doesn't seem
to... I feel that about you, too. I think your confidence comes with, like, confiding in the crowd of people that are following you that in your work and asking and posing questions for them. It's like, hey, what do you think of this or how I did this, blah blah blah. Suggestions are welcome, you know. It's like to be able to have that vulnerability, you know, with the world essentially.
What I've done now is I probably do ask, but I will say like this is what I think is bad about it. So I'm just confronting what. Cause I feel like when I posted that Craven in his head was all fucked up.
Yeah.
I didn't feel proud of that, but I put it out there and I just commented like, this is what I feel like I did wrong. And it was a topical point that people could comment on.
And I think that's important too for the people who are insecure out there about their own selves.
Yeah.
To see those like vulnerable things that like, that artists struggle with behind the beautiful pictures that they post.
I've never seen a hint from you of,
oh, I'll show you my sketchbooks, and you can see for yourself.
They're amazing.
No, they're not.
I've seen it. they look like finished mini pictures, mini pieces. You know.
Yeah.
So, you're not dodging it, but I don't think.
No, I'm not.
But
I'm trying to think as we're talking here.
Is there any anxiety inside of you? Is there any insecurity when you're coloring? When you did the fucking mural with in downtown.
Oh my god, dude. So the last day, I didn't think it was going to get done.
Okay.
And we literally started at noon the first day and then I got at the end of the day on the second day, I was almost in tears and I almost walked off the site because I didn't think we were going to get it done and I didn't have the time to come back and do anything.
So you were like panicking.
I was panicking, panicking because it wasn't going to get done that day.
But it was time, it wasn't I suck.
No, I did. I felt like, because like...
You did?
Yeah, because like we were trying to get it done with aerosol, and I've never worked in aerosol before.
So like when you were working with aerosol, because what's the guy's name you were working with?
Alex Svelta.
What's his Instagram name?
Swollen Finger on Instagram.
He does that.
Yeah, and so I had a backup plan. I did have somebody
who right, like you're with someone who is talented at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does, and has a name already.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you were an imposter at all?
Did you feel
like you were an imposter, like you were faking it, or that you didn't measure up to him?
I think there was a difference of style because he knew how to do a very specific thing in a large scale and get it done quickly. And my limited knowledge of working large was literally rollers and paintbrushes. He was aerosol and could literally just like hammer out some beautiful varied lines with the aerosol. And it's like, it's beautiful. I don't know how to do it. And thank God he was there because he pretty much rescued the piece, the project that we were working on at the end of
did, So would you call that, was that an insecurity? Because it sounds like you knew that you were limited there, but you were willing to take it on.
Yeah, but I mean, like that sense of failure because you didn't complete it to your to my satisfaction, to where I could walk home, go to bed that night and feel good and go to sleep.
That's not an insecurity. That's not an insecurity. If I was next to you in a show,
yeah,
I would feel like I'm not as good as Jeremy. Especially like when it comes to like coloring or something.
I guess you and
like,
I
would be like, Jeremy's gonna make something more dynamic than me.
Yeah.
People are gonna like his work more than mine.
Yeah.
Those thoughts would go through my head. I would still go forward.
Yeah.
But those thoughts would be in my, I would be thinking those things, and those thoughts are just a symptom of my own anxiety.
I guess I don't feel competitive with other artists. I mean, maybe that's me. I just don't feel competitive.
It's not a competitive thing. It's an insecurity thing. It's like an I'm not good enough kind of thing.
But you're still competing, though. When you say that, yeah, when you say I'm not as good as somebody, and you're trying to, that's a competitive, like, trait.
It's yeah, I guess so. I see it as different, though. Because there's definitely a competitive side to me that wants to be better than the next person,
mm-hmm.
which is not possible. I don't think it's worth talking about right now, but like, it's not possible. But it's just this drive within me to be the best.
Yeah,
which is unreachable. But it's just that's how I progress. That's what motivates me, you know.
Yeah,
to always learn something new and whatnot. But then I know that, especially when it comes to people looking and watching,
yeah,
and knowing that it will be judged.
Yeah.
That freaks me out.
That freaks me out, too, because when you put work out, like, when I have, like, a show, an art show, that's trippy to me. That's an insecurity for me. Like, to be in a space where you've created something and you have people just, like, strangers walking by and looking at your work and hearing them talk about things about your work, bad or good.
Do people say bad stuff about your work?
I'm sure they... I mean, I don't know. I don't stick around long enough to, like, listen to their, like... You know, poke my head over their shoulder while they're talking.
I'll spoil the surprise. No one's saying something bad. Do you actually wonder, or do you actually?
I do actually.
Really?
I do. I wonder what they're saying. Like, I want to know what people like. How I can connect with people, if I'm doing that or not.
Totally.
You know, and it's not necessarily my job to connect with people. You know, with my art, there are certain instances where I feel like I have to, but. My job as an artist is, I posted something on social media where it's like, you know, an egotistical artist can show you what they see. An okay artist can show you what everybody's already seen. But a true artist can show you something nobody's ever seen before, you know, and inspires people. And so that's, I mean...
Well, don't you also think that, well, you know that we come through... It's us. Like,
yeah.
You're showing yourself.
We have a voice. I mean, even though we're doing maybe something the same, like, same direction as other artists or other people, we definitely have a unique way of doing it. You know, it's like, I could say the same thing you just said, and somebody who could hear me say, and the inflections, you know, hit somebody differently, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's just how people hear it, you know?
I have to go put the laundry in the dryer.
Okay.
Don't drink your water.
Don't drink my water.
I mean, you can drink your water.
So am I going to sit here in silence with your microphone?
Yep.
That's weird.
They'll be farting early.
No.
Can you hear the dryer?
Hmm?
Can you hear the dryer?
A little bit. Not much.
This room is, it's good for, it's pretty darn good for sound quality.
Yeah. No, I think it is.
I think all the crap... Like, doesn't that deaden the echo, or, like, dull the echo when you have, like, crap on the walls and stuff?
Yeah. Sure.
I think it does. Yeah, it's not bad for sound. I want to upgrade everything. What I want to do is get... I don't know if you know anything about this, but, like, a mixer or something like that?
Yeah.
Where, like, you can plug in different microphones?
Mm-hmm.
So you can sit there in a little chair with your own microphone.
Yeah, I think they're different tracks. They call them 4 tracks, 8 tracks.
Yeah.
You could do that.
That's what I'm saving up for right now. I have another commission payment coming in, and that should be enough to...
Did you find something that research-wise, and that'll work for you?
I've looked a bunch. I don't know enough about it, so I find it kind of confusing.
Yeah.
It's probably simpler than making it. I could probably go to Best Buy and get like a package or something like that.
Yeah.
But I was actually looking earlier today. I'm sure it's easier than I'm making it out to be.
So, I mean, ideally...
Downstairs. Okay.
Okay. So ideally, what are you trying to get it so you have more direct lines? I mean, so you have better.
Well, for stuff like this, would be because it's going to be a better sound quality.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a big upgrade having, because the USB, I guess, isn't as good as the auxiliary, whatever you call it.
Right.
But for my coworkers, we want to do the therapy podcast. Yeah. And there's three of us, and this does not work for the three of us.
Yeah. Is this thing on or recording? It says red on your microphone.
Yeah, it should be recording on this thing.
I just wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if I saw it blue earlier.
I hope so. That was a good conversation. Yeah, it's still
fine. Okay. Yeah, that'd be cool. And then
I'm so interested in the insecurity thing.
Really?
But I wonder if some artists don't have that issue at all, and that's what kind of helps propel them forward, or if they get to a certain level where it's no longer an issue, or do they ever have anxieties, you know? I think for me the biggest thing is putting it out there.
Yeah.
Especially doing something new, like the IGTV or YouTube podcast, like recording myself and putting it out there.
Yeah, I think I hesitate to say it, but there's dirty little secrets that artists have, and there's crutches and things that we use for tools, reference photos, whatnot, and I mean, that we use to get a means to an end, you know, and I think there's definitely an imposter factor, when those things come up. I think for me, it's like I have a paint night thing I'm doing at Channel Brewing. I'm like, I'm freaking out.
Are you really?
Yeah. I mean, the reason I'm freaking out is not just because I'm not just putting my piece of art on the wall for people just to walk by and look at. I'm literally talking to people and talking them through my process and having them actually.
Oh, live.
No, this is at Channel Brewing Company. Right. I'm making 20 of the same Cheshire cat heads.
Right.
And they're
paint it live and
they're gonna paint along with me. Yeah, it's basically Bob Ross. Yes.
What's up?
Emma wants to know if we can play Minecraft on the big screen or if it's too loud.
Just keep it down. It should be fine. Okay. Mommy's right above it, so you have to keep it down. What? Like way down, Bella. Way down.
Like 10.
Yeah, that should be fine. So you're teaching it? Is that what it is?
Yeah, so I'll be teaching. So what's going to happen is people pay $30 for a ticket to come, and they get a beer with their night of painting. They get to take their piece home, obviously, with them, and they can, I believe, they can take the paint colors home with them, too, right. So they can continue on if they don't finish. You know, pick up some cheapo brushes at, you know, Michael's or whatever.
Yeah.
But the idea is we're going to have 2 hours to wherever, how long we feel comfortable going beyond that. And
that's awesome.
I'll be able to walk them through my process, you know.
But you're freaking out about it?
Freaking out because it's a thing that I don't do hardly ever. I've never done it, really.
You've taught.
I've taught when I was younger, and that's different because I'm not just standing in front of a classroom where I'm talking and just all eyes are on me. When I taught before, I was in a class moving around, talking to individual students, just moving through the room, and it was very one-on-one based thing. So there's obviously a little bit more connection and comfortable doing that. But like when you're standing up and giving almost a presentation style thing, and then people pay good money to come and do this thing, and maybe now you have the expectation of having this thing that you put out there and told them that this is what we're going to do.
So it's a new experience. It's interesting. I didn't know you'd be a little, is it like intimidated or anxious or what?
It's a little bit of both. Yeah.
How bad is it?
I mean, I know I can get through it. It's fine.
I did. Oh, I know you'll get through it. See, yeah. I did a presentation to some staffs and peers.
Yeah.
Terrified me. My mouth went dry.
Was it about stuff that you knew what you were talking about though?
It was, I knew it well enough. It was the first time I was doing it.
Oh.
And it was the first time I was doing it to coworkers.
Yeah.
Not to, but with poor coworkers. So my mouth went dry. I was panicking. my limbs felt like, oh, okay, my muscles
got tense. Yeah, you were tense. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to grow from this. So I just powered through it.
Yeah.
Drinking water helped that a lot. But I just powered through it. I'm like, I have to get to the first one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of freaking out, but you'll know you'll be okay on the other end of it, right?
Right. I do. I think it's just also the nervousness lies too with it coming together. Like we don't have all the material yet either. That's the other thing. It's like I have a lot of work to do. I still have a lot of work to do before we even get to the day where I'm going to be really nervous.
You don't seem like you get like nothing stopping you. Like you know you'll be okay on the other end of things, and that you'll grow from whatever, even the mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely things that deter me. Like this last beer label I did. I didn't want to do it because I was just like, I want to have breathing space to create stuff that I want to create, you know, and put out in the world rather than like for somebody else. So I was going to turn it down, but then I was like, you know, like you were talking about, you're going to grow from this. And it's like, it was definitely a growing experience. And this is also a very interesting, client that I had that I've always just had that everybody's happy with what I give them. You know,
yeah.
Where this client was just like very much a micromanaging. He's a graphic designer.
Oh,
so he knew what he was looking for. And, I was just under the impression that he was wanting just my art. And that's what I had even communicated that in the beginning. I said, listen, this is what I charge for just art. I don't do graphic work. I mean, I can. Getting back to that thing, like as an artist, you're expected to do everything. And I'm not very well versed in that. So
the design aspects of it?
The design aspect of it. I don't know how to run Illustrator. I don't know how to navigate through Photoshop all that well.
So why'd you do it?
I did it because I had my iPad and I had like a kind of makeshift way to do it. You know, it's like doing it, but doing it my way and making it work, you know, and getting them the same, for the most part, you know, outcome. He wanted, I think I showed you that. I showed you that tonight, the logo or the label. And because like, and the other thing too, and I'm not going to name this particular brewery or whatever, but it's the communication level was a little lacking, and that made it very difficult for me to like get this thing done. I mean, they needed it done in a timely manner because they had this event coming up. So with that pressure, I mean, it was hard because I would try and eat text message, phone call, and I wouldn't get any return. And so that's frustrating, you know, and knowing what I know now, I mean, now I know that learning from this very specific, that every client has a different way of communicating with somebody. And this one happened to be something very detailed. He was email. Everything was email. Like every conversation was, you know, through emails. And okay. I don't do emails. I don't check my emails. If you look at my phone and you see the number on the icon, it's like almost 900 emails or whatever. A lot of it's notifications from BS stuff, but I didn't do emails. So it's like, okay, well, emails is a thing apparently when you're doing design work, because you have to figure out how to give them their thing that they want, their digital file or whatever. So that was a definitely a growing experience, but it was also nerve-wracking too, because this is my first client that I've gotten that I didn't know what they want. I didn't know anything about them. It was just a referral from a friend of mine. They're saying, hey, my friend's got this brewery and they saw your work and they really like it and we're interested in having a label done. And I'm like, well, okay. Had to meet with them. It was just a weird vibe, you know? And so, and I'm sure that there's more of those people out there than there is like of the people that are just like, yay, man, that's awesome. Whatever you did is awesome. We'll make it work, you know?
Good learning experience, though.
It was a great learning experience. So now I understand that, like, okay, it's changed my workflow. It's changed my discipline in getting my work done. Like my previous clients were like, whenever you get it done, man, it'd be great. You know, this person's like, I have a date. I need it done now. As soon as you can, you know, kind of thing. So that kind of pressure is nerve-wracking, you know.
And then lack of communication.
And then the lack of communication and stuff. So It's that to me is like, you know, you're so comfortable in your place, in your box of creating things and putting things out into the world, whereas like somebody pulls you out of your box and makes you create over here instead of like in your comfort space. So
yeah.
With the channel brewing thing, are you gonna record it? That seems like some really good content.
What do you mean?
Record it and have it like, I don't know what you'd use it for, but at least to record it and have it there in case you wanted to like publish that in some way. On a Jeremy, you know, website to show a service that you do, and then have, here's a real life example of me working with a crowd.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Don't just do it and let it die. Like,
oh, you're talking about the paint party thing.
Paint party, okay.
Yeah. I'm like, we were talking about beer labels.
And no, sorry. Like, the paint party channel, right? Yeah.
I'm sure that they're gonna handle that. The recording end of it. I think they probably will, because I imagine they might even live stream it. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, maybe if they even get to that
point. I hope they do, because it's a golden opportunity.
Well, see, here's the deal. You should pay the $30. Come do a Cheshire Cat head. You can live stream it, and I won't even charge you for it.
Damn, but I have to pay $30.
I mean, I'm not going to charge you for the live stream. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, right. You guys should. I don't know how keen they are on the social media aspect of things, but
so we have. Yeah, they have a social media like guy who does.
I know, but are they media. Like utilizing it actively? And like, this is a great opportunity to do a live stream or record it and put it on a YouTube channel. They might have at some point, or divide it up into Instagram.
Yeah,
TV. Like it's that's like. Great content.
I think if they did this more often, then yes, that would
like
be...
if they had like you teaching and then people painting their crappy paintings and then shots.
Damn, dude!
And then, because it's not gonna be, it's gonna suck. And then Jeremy, showing like the beers and stuff,
mm-hmm.
like a video like cut up.
You're talking about like an actual like, I don't know, I guess what's the word?
Production.
Like a commentary, almost. You know, of what's going on. You know, you're getting. This little snippets of the event, essentially.
I think it'd be cool. I think
like a promotional cool. video, essentially, think, of what they're doing.
But what if you record the whole thing, you could turn it into a promotional thing.
Yeah.
Or just have it live as it is. Yeah. Like, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, hopefully you would have access to it, and then at some point, if you ever wanted to use it, and say, this is a service I provide.
Yeah, and I...
Hire me for your bar mitzvah.
Is it bar mitzvah or bar mitzvah?
I said bar.
Okay.
I think it's bar mitzvah.
Yeah, would be awesome.
You know, I look at everything as like content now,
and that's what everybody wants,
right?
So no,
and I don't know, like I don't know how channel is. I noticed I was looking at a couple other Stockton businesses that use Instagram, and they're not doing a very good job. They're posting some good pictures, but they're not responding to anybody at all.
Oh,
that leave comments and stuff, but not really engaging and connecting with
them. I think you should go shame them too. Then while you're at it,
I almost did. But I'm like, you know what, I can't start this because I'll have to do it to everybody. It's just too much.
Yeah. I mean, you can't just single out people because then it just gets ugly.
Yeah.
Like me. I'm just singling out me.
There's a lot. I'm surprised.
She actually commented back. She said, dude, what's that guy's problem?
What guy? Who?
The one you called me out and you told me to comment back on my, you called me out. You shamed me.
Someone said that?
No, I was just trying to make you feel like an asshole.
There's some like really cool like restaurants in Stockton, you know, and they're not really like I went to one for lunch called
Market Tavern.
No, that one's all right. Central or Central?
Oh yeah, Central.
It's a really good place. It's not super expensive, and at lunchtime it's dead quiet. I loved it.
Really?
There's no one there.
Oh,
which is shocking because it's really really good.
Yeah.
And they play like Frank Sinatra music. Like it's cool.
You sit in the back and act like a gangster, even with nobody in there.
I don't know. No. But Renee and I met for lunch there a couple times, and I'm like, why is this place so dead? And I look at their Instagram, and they're not.
I don't know. Maybe social media is the new way of putting things out into the world. Man. It is because you're on there. But I mean, what about the people that don't utilize it or that are
who's not using social media?
The previous generations.
They are. Yeah,
are they?
Yes.
Do I just not know about it?
You don't.
No.
Well, I spend time listening to social media marketing and
oh.
the gurus and what they. There's a couple that follow in particular who are saying like, these demographics exist on social media.
How do you become a guru of social media, though? That's crazy.
Just using it constantly and finding out what works and using data and everything.
I get like weird, like now that my phone tells me how much screen time I've had or social media time I've had, then it's like, are you telling me I'm a bad person? Is that what you're, is that what's happening?
It's not.
No, my phone's shaming me.
No, fuck the phone. But like, there's a guy who's Gary Vaynerchuk. He's like,
oh yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, he says all these demographics are doing social media. And he's like, there are 60-year-olds using poop emojis when they text.
Yeah, no, Diane's mom just got into actually using emojis. I'm like, all right, they're coming into their own, you know.
Renee and her mom use Snapchat.
Yeah.
Just for each other. And that was like a 15-year-old teenager thing, but now it's, once moms get into it, it's like that. Now it's crossed a line, you know. That
do you feel like if it. You don't, I feel weird. Like, it's like if people you know in the world, like that are like beyond social media, like people you know and have connections with, if they're not on social media, do you feel like they don't exist?
In some way, yeah.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah. But at the same time, the people I don't talk to in real life, I might interact with on social media. Yeah.
That's crazy to me. Like, I have family members. Like, my brother, I have a brother and a sister who really don't get on any social media. And I'm not, and it's not a shame thing. It's just, it's a thing that they just, I don't know. It's like, if you've never really had it or never used it.
Yeah.
Or it's people that are completely happy not being married. Like I don't want to liken marriage to social media, but it's just like you know, some people are like, I got to get married. They have that like they get the age comes in, and it's just like I really need to find somebody. Blah blah blah. But then there's those people that are like, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, I liken that to the people who don't necessarily need to be on social media. It's like I'm fine without it. Yeah. You know?
That's what they say. Is I'm good.
Yeah, and then they cry at night and wonder why nobody likes them. And
well, for me, I only use. I don't use, like, I have Facebook, I don't use it anymore.
Yeah.
For my personal use, I don't, because I kept wanting to argue with people, and it was toxic for me. I wasn't doing it very good.
Yeah, I try and steer clear of that kind of stuff, too. It's like,
I have a hard time not doing it.
I see it, and I'm just like, nope.
I know, exactly.
Just keep swiping.
I have a really hard time biting my tongue, and so I had to just stop. And so, I kind of use it for art, not a whole lot. I quarter-assed it, not even half-assed it.
Yeah.
But Instagram is, I take it really seriously. It's a good platform, I think, for me. And YouTube is okay.
I listened to a podcast talking about really focusing on one avenue. Instead of doing Twitter, instead of doing all these different things, you know, Snapchat and stuff. It's like, really focus and put some energy into one thing, or one or two things.
That's what I believe. And the gurus say different things.
Yeah.
But I cannot adequately provide attention to all the platforms. I can go way deep into one of them. So Instagram is one I'm really focusing on. YouTube I flirt with pretty well.
Yeah.
But not a whole lot, honestly. I upload to it and that's kind of it. So I don't even flirt with it. I just kind of upload and move on.
Yeah.
But I cannot sustain a Facebook page and YouTube.
Well, I mean, you can. It's just that's the same content, just like bleeding over onto each platform, though.
No, because you have to keep up with it. You have to reply to people. And you don't just, on Instagram, I don't just upload and then move on.
Well, not everybody can have 8,000 followers or whatever, you know. I'm happy with my 1,005 followers, all right?
So like, you, I don't think you don't really use your stories, do you? You use a little bit.
I do those more than probably I post anything.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
With what?
Like,
I don't follow anybody anymore. Stop following everybody.
You stop following me?
I'm now following 7 people. I'll follow you again later.
7 people?
I was at 0 last week.
Wow. Like, you're on, like, a follow diet.
Yeah. I just kind of cleanse, yeah.
Wow. Cleanse.
I'll follow you again, though. You're worth it.
Oh, thank
you. So, I haven't seen your stories recently, but...
Do I even have...
But, you know, people post to their feed.
Yeah.
But not everyone posts their stories. I'm glad you're doing that.
I don't have anything on my story today. I feel...
So, there's different levels of it, you know?
I'm dead inside. No.
If you go to my stories, it's all always pretty jam packed with, I think, really valuable information.
Okay.
Every now and then, music stuff, but like, you know, support for other artists.
That's so weird to me too. Or not weird. It's just, I don't know, say it's annoying because I feel like the music thing. Do people really value what music you're listening to anymore? Do they really care? I mean, is it? I to be honest, when I see somebody's like music thing, it's like, if I'm feeling in like the exploratory mood, maybe I'll check it out. But for the most part, it's like, don't care.
Yeah, unless you have a connection. Like if someone listened to Snap Jackson,
yeah,
you'd be like, hey, me too.
Yeah.
And that's what I get is when I post
yeah.
certain
so
artists.
So I guess you're reaching out to that very, very select few.
I have found, this is the way I view Instagram now, is that I post to my feed as much as I can. I don't do it daily anymore. I just can't keep it up. And that's the general audience.
Yeah.
And they follow me and they like my stuff. Cool. The people who go to my stories, that's my real audience. Because because it's all real people. And they have to take a separate action. They have to tap on my face. Or not my face, but my avatar.
Yeah.
To see my, so they have to take that separate action and then go through each one. It's real people that want to see more.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, my real audience is the podcast listeners. And that's way smaller.
Well, yeah, but
that's those are the people that are like sharing my stuff.
Yeah.
Part of my community and really like special and different.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then I think the IGTV crowd, which is super small right now, will be like the podcast crowd.
It's going to change. Yeah. Yeah. I think the story, like, you remember when the stories first came out? Like, nobody used them. It's like, what are these?
Yeah.
And now for me, it's like, I get off of work, I'll go home, I'll have a beer, and I'm just like, I have a minute before the family gets home, and I'm just like, I'll give myself some time, and then stories is really the place I go.
Is it?
More than going to, like, really? The Instagram feed.
Oh, wow.
And I like that because it's like what happened today, not just what happened today. It's like what happened throughout the day. And there is definitely clutter, and I should probably kind of like cleanse a little bit myself. But I feel like I've got certain people who like feel like they can just like tell you like I got up this morning, I had breakfast,
yeah,
I went to work, you know, and it's just like. That's cool. Thanks for posting a picture or a video of you looking at your feet walking somewhere. It's like, cool.
Yeah.
I don't even know where you are, but you're walking. That's great. Cheers.
I used to post pictures of my coffee. When I first started taking it seriously, I would post pictures of coffee.
Yeah.
Just because I was experimenting, and was like, this is my day. Fine, I'll show that. And then whatever I draw on Jay's water bottle every morning, I do like a little sketch.
Well, there you go. Well, that's kind of cool, though.
It was simple, creative. But I realized like I have to put something on this. Like it's here.
Yeah.
I'll just start somewhere, and then it's built. And I don't do the coffee stuff anymore. I don't do the Jay's water bottle anymore. But now it's pretty much a lot of support for artists, and every now and then I'll drop like something I'm listening to.
It's weird. I get kind of turned off by like the gimmicky looking like. Story pages, like somebody will post something with all these like
the gifts and stuff,
and things all over it. And I'm just like, that's too much for me. Just show me the picture, dude. I can't see.
That's what I found. That's what I found with stories is it gets really cluttered really quickly.
Yeah.
So I found the less is more, obviously,
dude.
So I'll do like I'll show you what I did today.
I mean,
did you look through my stuff today? Probably not.
I probably did.
So like, look at I have a slide just with. Black text and white background that just like introduces the next thing.
Yeah.
So now people
are like, crying. Even that is too much for me. It's like,
it's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're like, you literally just screenshotted something and then added more words on top of that.
So a lot. Well, so a lot of times what I'll do is
that, like, I can't deal with that, man.
It's a lot, but hopefully that catches the eye and that's all you need to see.
Yeah. But what does that even mean? Like, thanks. Oh, I see. Because this person like had a bazillion likes all over your page.
This is a lot, but the people that know Jake Parker and what he did that day will get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
That's easy. I'm like, okay. And that's, see, like, for me, and, like, this is just from an objective point of view. I'm looking as I'm talking here, but...
And this, that's when I screenshotted, but I whited out everything.
Dude, I get kind of excited and about then, those, because I know you're having a conversation with somebody.
I know, it's cool.
And I'm like, oh, this is going to be good.
But then what I started doing is putting the 1 out of 3. So people know...
So they know there's more. Yeah. Yeah.
There's 3 slides that pertain to this.
Yeah.
So I'm doing the best I can to simplify because I'm, like I said, like you, like I just want the next one. Okay, hurry up. Unless it's valuable, I'm moving.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
And that's the thing. It's like, we all want to put stuff out there. It's like, but how meaningful is it? I mean,
yeah.
Like for me, it's like, I listened to a podcast, the Don't Keep Your Day Job podcast. It was really, really good and very insightful. And one of the things I took away from it is like, okay, you get on these social media sites. Like, why are you there? Like, why are you there today? Not necessarily like in the broad picture of it, like very specifically, why are you here right now? Are you here to look
at... That's a good question.
Are you here to get inspired by art or by something?
That's a good question, because when I went to Zero People, I don't think I knew what all that stuff was for, and I just wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And now that lasted for like a week and a half.
Yeah.
And I started realizing I was missing... There was some people I was missing out on.
Yeah.
Your stuff, I feel like I just remember I was missing
out. And that's the other thing that I've heard is like, you have to stay relevant too on a daily, almost weekly basis. You know, you have to stay relevant. And that just means posting. And so that's the beauty about the stories is like maybe you're working on something, you get a work in progress kind of thing. And like, but you're still there. People see it. They know that you're still active and you're producing and you're...
Jake Parker's really good at that.
Yeah.
He does. What I noticed today, I went to his stories. I'll show you right now. He always has a project. Do you follow him though?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Always has a project. Do you listen to his YouTube stuff or his podcast?
Yeah, I've listened to a couple of them.
So look, he always has a project.
Yeah.
And everything he does before the project is like priming you to get you involved in it. You know, so like, he has a new project, a new print. The first thing we see is him dipping. It's like a story.
Yeah.
And it's not just a picture of like an update. It's like, we're involved in this.
Yeah.
And I'm like in.
Yeah, he's holding his phone. He's holding his phone.
But it's like we're in it. You know, he's really... And so like the next one is, oh, okay, like we're watching it unfold.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. All I do is I'll put like a snapshot of the progress.
Right.
But that doesn't involve people.
Oh, so you're on the live end of it. Like you're wanting to just have people have a live view of like what's happening.
Oh, I'll do live streams.
No, but like this is recorded now, obviously, and you can go back and post it. But you had a very real time.
For me, I'll take a snapshot, three or four of the progress, and put in the stories.
Yeah.
But I love the him getting us involved. If, you know, when you watch people ink or even erase,
oh, I get aroused.
There's something about it. Yeah,
it's arousing. I mean, like, I'm not gonna lie, dude. Seriously, it's like you go from that pencil to pen. It's like, give me that thick line. Oh, give me some dots.
But look at, like, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
And look, so now we're into it. And it's like, okay, snapshot of where we're at.
Yeah. You get like a little.
Let's get back into it.
We're back.
Snapshot.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. So I think, he's definitely like giving you a variety of ways of.
But he's getting us emotional through that process. Because us as artists are like, oh, yeah. Like, we are now involved.
Yeah.
In this, and I want to own it.
Yeah, I want to see this through with you, Jake Parker.
Yeah,
you know,
brilliant.
No, I get that.
That's good use of stories. That's like
it is
without selling or pushing at all.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily, and I don't mean to take this like personally. I wasn't trying to, but like I don't necessarily try and put myself out there to sell. No. I want it to sell. That would be great. Ideally,
I don't see you doing that.
You know, but I put it out there just to like show like what I can do, like and what I do.
Yeah.
Like, who I am as an artist, you know? And that's what I want people to buy. I want people to buy into, you know, what I do and be supportive. Like, come to a show. And don't have to buy anything. Just come check it out and just see, you know, come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you. I mean, that'd be great.
That's the vibe I get from you.
Yeah. But the reality is, like, my own insecurities is like, I don't know how to have a good conversation, like meaningful conversation. And like, I'm terrible at social conversations. It just...
Like in real life?
Like in real life, because I don't know anything about like... I don't mean to make it sound like a tangent, but like, I can't relate in current events. I can't relate in football. I can't really... I mean, all the things that most average people, normal people talk about.
In football, the Sharks beat the Warriors last Tuesday.
The football, you're an ass. I know the names. You can't fuck me up there. I mean, I know.
Joe Montana was the winning referee in that game.
The referee. Oh, the Raiders, right?
Yeah, right. You got it. Is it because you've solely focused on art?
I have a very like you. You have a very narrow focus in your life. I do too.
Extremely.
And so with that being said, I do sacrifice a lot of things. Like when people have conversations at work, maybe that's why I hate my job so much, is because I can't relate to anybody and I can't have a whole really good conversation with anybody. Because I don't, I mean, I watch the weather in the morning before I go to work and then I catch like maybe some highlights of a game, or I'll catch highlights of like a shooting or something like that happened, you know? crap happens, you know?
Yeah.
But for the most part, I don't get home.
I'm imagining you being like, all right, let's check out the highlights of the day and the shootings. All right, here we go. I am ready for the night.
There's a... God. Yeah, I mean, I guess I was a little cavalier with that, but...
No, I got you. Like, you get the headlines.
Yeah, I do. I get the headlines of everything, you know, and so...
That's something.
It is, so I can have a very limited conversation with somebody about...
I think you've gotten as far as most people.
I think that's good to hear, because it's like, there's a sense of, like, being unrelatable to, you know, society.
Totally.
You know, when you bury yourself in a craft, or you bury yourself...
Yeah.
I don't want to say bury, because that's pretty extreme.
But you have a pretty good art network.
I do. And
but not at work.
God, no.
It's different, yeah.
It's very different. And it's not to say that I have people who are genuinely interested in what I do and want to be, not because of that, but just want to be friends with me just because of who I am. And I want to be friends with them, you know, so that works. And I can have very comfortable, meaningful, joking conversations, you know, with these people. But there's certain people outside of that comfort level and the circle of friends, I guess, that I just can't. I can't sit down like now and have a very deep conversation with, you know, or just whatever, shoot the crap, you know?
Totally. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, I don't know. That's weird to me. So, cause like I make cool art, I guess. I mean, I have a hard time like owning up to that kind of stuff too. Oh my God. Like I mean, I can't say like, I'm a really good artist. I can't say that and like feel like really like, sense like put that stamp on it, you know.
At what point would you be able to? Like how much?
What? It's an internal thing, and it's right. For me, and it's only for me. Like it won't. It has nothing to do externally, like whether like people accept me.
So would there ever be a point where you'd be like, okay, I've gotten somewhere?
I feel a little that way, but it's just like then you get kind of like knocked off kilter. It's like, oh, I like you. I mean, oh, you're an artist. Oh, I like what you do. You want to do something for me? It's like, oh, not really. I'm enjoying, you know, being here and making things right now.
Yeah.
So being pulled out of that comfort zone is just, I mean, obviously for anybody is nerve wracking, but yeah. So it's I definitely don't feel like I'm at that place. And I know, I'm sure you probably, maybe you don't, totally. But like are at that place where you just feel like that imposter syndrome just keeps creeping in, you know?
It does. Like, and I'm confident in that I have something to offer skill-wise, you know? So I have some level of, oh, there goes the water. That's it.
I'm good, man. I'm hydrated. Oh, I'll go until I can't, until my throat gives out on me.
Treat. I don't mind saying, like, I feel like I'm a good artist.
Yeah.
It's I don't know if that's the best way to describe it, but I'm confident I have some level of skill to offer.
You're a competent artist.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, with what I do.
Right.
If you ask me to draw a car,
yeah,
no idea. I'll trace it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can do that. But so I feel like I've gotten that far, but I think recently I've realized that the things I don't know how to do is a pretty big vulnerability.
Yeah,
you know
I think
mean?
Being
and
an artist.
A lot.
I think being
lot.
An artist just in general is being vulnerable in itself.
Well, I mean, like you said recently, you realized that you don't do landscapes.
I don't.
That's a huge.
It is. It's an obstacle.
Area. Yeah. Right. Right. That's what I mean.
And so I've been working on addressing my landscapes because I mean, I see it in your work, but I've also seen you address the whole page as well.
With comics,
yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
I do.
But,
yeah.
Like, when you do, like, the concept art, generally kind of, like, is a floating, no environment,
right.
Very limited environment
right.
Kind of setup. And I'm starting to feel like maybe that's changing for me now because, like, if you look at a lot of my work, it is very, a lot of floating heads and a lot of, like, not addressed environment. So now I'm working on addressing environment. I'm not addressing... I've realized I have a very... go-to thing when I do address environments. It's very much, I have a very flat plane.
Yeah.
And I do, it's very linear, you know, like you get like, so now I'm addressing the plane, like the perspective planes, you know, and just kind of like, oh, it would be cool to kind of like make things move in a more organic kind of like inviting way into your work.
Yeah.
You know, so that's...
So you want to develop in other areas, but toward what end? Like, why? Do you have a future goal in mind?
Yeah, because I want... Well, ideally, it'd be nice, because if you... Like, again, you look at a lot of my things, it's very conceptual. I mean, it is literally a thing without anything around it.
Right.
And so what I would like to do is, like, because I did get into a mural piece where I address the whole space and create a whole mural with environment, I'd like to be able to comfortably do that. Whereas,
oh, why? Just to have a fuller storytelling.
To have more information for people to buy into, because it's one thing. I mean, here's the thing I am comfortable saying is I can do this one thing and I can do it fairly well.
There you go.
All right. But
damn right you can.
But as far as environment goes, I have very specific things. I have go-tos, which a lot of artists do, like trees.
That's
you know,
that every comic I've made, the few I've made, it's just trees.
Right.
I stay away from buildings as much. There was an issue too of Sculder Stories. There was a lot of snow.
Yeah, I want to get into like and now, dude.
It was snow and ice spikes coming out of the ground. It was very simple.
I want to explore the Frank Miller like style, but with what I do. I would love to like kind of weave that that beautiful like positive negative play. I know you were playing with that when you did. What were you working on? It was before Sculder Stories. Maybe it was Sculder Stories, but we were doing
Heavy Black and White.
Heavy Black and Whites. Mm-hmm. And was it the Heavy Black and Whites where like it was like you were going into like alternate worlds or dreams or something like that? Where you
the prequel, yeah.
Yeah, the prequel.
Yeah, just Sculder's, yeah.
Right. And yeah. So I love that. To me, that's exciting, and I want to play with that some more.
I gotcha.
And there's things I'm a fan of, like, that I would love to, like, get into. I mean,
yeah.
Can you open these?
Let's see. Thank you. There's a trick. Did you try already?
Don't spill that in.
No, there's a trick. I learned this on The Cosby Show.
What? Ooh. Ooh, dang.
You get a little on you. That's a good idea to do over your sink, though, or on your counter. But
do you want me to get your napkin?
No, I'm going to lick my fingers. I love pickle juice. Is it sweet pickle or is it dill pickle? Or is it Kolsch? What kind is it?
It's classic dill
pickle. Oh, sweet. I'm going to lick my fingers.
That's some dad stuff right there. That's gold.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you just give it two good taps, all that pressure pushes to the top and it makes it want to twist easier.
I try when I twist it, I use force, but I also kind of try and...
I've never tried that. I have to try that. Does it work?
It seems to. I keep opening them.
Smart ass.
I just try and wiggle it and use force at the same time.
No, but yeah, it was the Cosby Show, I think, that I learned that, and you just give it a good, two good, like that, and all that pressure.
You've learned a lot from Bill Cosby.
Wow. That's a...
Yeah.
We don't need to go that direction. What were we talking about? Oh,
landscapes and...
Yeah, just like... Stuff that we're just going into things, like doing some more exploratory stuff, I think. I think I'm at a point where I'm not feeling like I have to get this and I have to get that done, where I can go, I want to play a little bit. I really want to play. And it's not for anybody but for me. And then eventually it'll be for everybody else, you know, to see and you know, check out. But
I think I feel the same thing as you, just to start doing different things and growing in areas that I'm obviously
weak. Yeah.
I like to draw these characters,
mm-hmm.
but they're not mine. That kind of bothers me, you know.
What do you mean they're not yours?
Venom's not mine.
Oh, yeah. But that's fun because, like...
When
you start doing copyright work, and I call it copyright not to, like make any... But it's what it is. You know, you are doing somebody else's concept, but in your own way.
And I get that. But I think I'd really like to have something that was mine. And I have a couple of those characters...
Yeah, I mean,
but maybe like something more abstract that like is just mine. You know?
Yeah, I remember.
That I could go there.
Your Sculder characters, those are yours, aren't they?
It was mine and my brother's. So
I thought those.
But that, like, Astro Pig's mine.
Yeah.
But,
dude, that could be so much fun.
He's really, I love drawing.
Dude, the Astro Pig is like, what does that remind me of? Like, it was in the 90s. But it can be dark, it could be fun, it could be anything.
Yeah.
You could go any different any direction.
Yeah.
And Astro Pig could be, I mean, I don't know like the story behind Astro Pig, but like he could be an older character that happens to be just really small, you know? And or it could be a young, you know, kid, exuberant, like full of energy, you know.
He's a dad.
Okay. Is he really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and he travels to other worlds. If I were to sit down and draw, I know I can do Venom well, and I know it comes from me, and it's, but the idea is not 100% mine.
Yeah.
But it's my own way, and I think it's recognizable as Justin Prime's Venom.
Yeah,
but definitely. But I would also like to sit down and be able to just draw something.
Yeah.
That maybe wasn't a pop culture reference. And I don't have that abstract thinking when it comes to creativity yet. That's right.
It's a muscle that you have to work on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If I were to sit down and think of what to draw.
Yeah. Oh, like, I know.
Outside of pop culture.
Yeah.
I would have no idea where to start.
Right. And then I think that's kind of defeating for me, because it's like, am I really a good artist then if I can't do anything on my own?
Hmm.
It's like, I enjoy doing pop culture stuff too myself. Mario.
Right.
I mean, video games. I mean, and I'm not like a gamer by any means, but I definitely love like the classic culture of where video games came from, you know?
Yeah.
And then, cause like, I've had so many people's like, dude, you should do some artwork for video games, man. It's like, that'd be rad. I'm like, that would be kind of cool, I guess. I like, even like big artists like Eric Abel, the guy from Tahoe, he's like, dude, you should get into video games, man, or animation. I'm like, dude, your work with like animation stuff, like being able to animate in your style, would be awesome. I'm like, I guess I could see that, but I just don't believe it.
Just start doing it. You should just start doing it.
Yeah.
I think that's what I've been feeling recently. Is I'd like to be able to sit down and from scratch.
Yeah.
Just do something that's really cool and worth printing and selling as a print. You know.
Yeah.
I don't feel as comfortable selling pop culture stuff to prints anymore.
What I would recommend doing, and what I will do, and it will never make it, I don't generally put it out there, is I'll find, like, on my tablet, I'll find reference photos. It's like, I had this idea, or maybe it starts with just a part of the idea, where you have maybe the character, or maybe you have, like, a part of the environment that's, like, in your brain. And it's like, oh, man, I'd love to do a piece with, like, glowing mushrooms.
Right.
Like, well, what are you going to do? I mean, around that, like, what's going to happen? Like, where is that going to, what's going to be, you know, part of that?
And it's Chris Dennington's really good at, he has his thing.
Yeah.
His objects and his style, and like, it's all right. Him.
So that's like his language now. So now he's just communicating with his language, you know?
Or who is it? I don't follow her anymore, but Loish.
Oh, yeah, dude.
She's got her style, her character.
I still follow her, but I don't necessarily like, get to see everything she does, and she's a gazillion followers, and it's just like,
and she does like Girls Lot, I think it was, not a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
But amazingly, but it's hers, and it's I think a lot of people draw girls well, but she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But she sits down and doesn't have to pull from pop culture. It doesn't look like.
No, she's definitely got a catalog in her brain of like.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she's definitely, because like, it's like you talk to a comic book artist who does that for a living.
Right.
Like is like, goes to a studio to work on something for a comic book. Those people do those three, the head turns or whatever.
Yeah.
Where you're just drawing like a bazillion different varieties of the same character or whatever. It's because those muscles are there. And here already. And so in their brain, because of their education with maybe just the fundamentals, you know, of maybe figure drawing, it's like they can expand on the basics, you know, and do it comfortably. And like we're talking about, it's a language, you know, they understand it so they can navigate. So you'll just have to learn how to build those muscles, get the artwork out, you know?
So I think I realized that I have to start doing things besides figures in space, you know, blank space.
Yeah.
And so my go-to was, well, I should probably practice buildings perspective, you know, I think it's good as a fundamental,
yeah,
but, doing
doing something abstract actually sounds like a lot more fun.
Yeah. So what I will do, fun, some things that are fun too, like I'm doing a portrait of a burlesque dancer, and it's not, she's not dancing. It's just, she's just really, really unique and very cool looking. but I took a just off of Instagram. I took one of her, like, she had like a photo session, and I took the photo and I just started playing in my program and using like warp tools and just like completely like characterizing and just getting it to where I wanted to see it look, so I could just kind of map it out a little bit and then literally just get rid of the picture and go back and do my thing. Mm. You know, she's got tattoos all over and stuff, so I want to kind of play with that idea of like making the tattoos look like they are literally on her skin and just like going, you know, around with like dimension and form. So
yeah,
so that's new for me, and it's also, I feel like it's kind of a cheater thing, but like it's eventually going to be mine. Like, right. I'm eventually going to have a departure from literally, you know, and I can see the purists who went to school and have like a understanding of all this stuff and can do it without doing that. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it, you know, and if that's going to be the what turned people off from me, fine, you know, but I'm still making the things. I'm a maker, you know, making the things that
I want to make.
I don't think there's any shame in that. It's part of the learning process.
Right. And like, again, we're talking about that, and then that muscle too, that you're working on too.
Exactly,
it's like, because we're always observing when we're working, you know, it's like, I'm taking things in constantly. It's like using different tools, figuring out how they function, how they affect what I'm trying to get, you know? So I'm definitely like you mean you're learning off obviously too, but, again, this, I've only had this tablet for a year, and I've only been doing this for less than a year, and I feel like I've learned a lot already.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, let's see. I'm going to get some more water, but I got to get going.
All right. It's good talking.
Yeah, for sure.
My ass got some new content. That didn't sound right. That didn't sound right at all.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.